Imagine with me, if you will, your favorite book, well, or TV series. Not everyone is a reader. I don't want to assume that. So, but I'm going to imagine a book. And so if you're thinking of a TV series, just think of watching an episode of the show instead of reading a chapter in the book. So you've found the best book. Or maybe it's the best series. You know, Stranger Things would be an awesome one to pick right now if you were picking those. But you found the best book. Each day, you can't wait to get home to read the next chapter. You find yourself throughout the day kind of rereading previous chapters in your mind in preparation for what's going to happen next. Night after night, you get sucked deeper and deeper into the story. I mean, it's a real page-turner. This is one of those times that you are glad the book is so thick. You don't want it to end. You were a little frustrated that your weekend was so busy that you couldn't find an opening in your schedule that was long enough or quiet enough to get the next chapter read. But finally, it's Sunday evening. The kids are in bed. The dog has been walked. You slip into your jammies and you snuggle into your favorite reading spot on the couch. Now, the chapter that you're reading is the best one yet. Your emotional strings are being tugged to and fro. It's intense. As you get to the bottom of the page, the last sentence is about to reach the top of a literary crescendo. And you turn the page and find it to be blank. Not a word has been written. You turn to the next page, and it's blank too. I mean, there's still an inch or maybe 2 inches left in this book. And all the pages from that point forward are blank. I mean, you cry a horrific screech, "No!" And we're Trinitarian, so we're going to do it 3 times. "No! No!" And of course, you've just woken up the kids, and they're crying. The dog starts barking incessantly, and your significant other was upstairs in bed asleep and didn't even wake up. Sorry, honey. And just when you think things couldn't get any worse, the teenage boy next door called the police because you screamed "no" 3 times. He had just attended a special seminar on "no means no." Clearly, someone in your house was in trouble. The neighbor across the street was concerned when the police showed up, so they sent you their thoughts and prayers. You, being deeply religious and spiritual person, you could feel their thoughts and prayers, which triggered a prayer for yourself. Why, Lord, why? Why are the pages of the best story ever written all of a sudden blank? Welcome to Year B Easter Vigil. This is what we get at the Easter Vigil on the lectionary cycle of Year B. Tonight, we got to listen to portions of the greatest story ever told. We got to hear the record of God's saving deeds in history. We got to hear from Genesis, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and it was good, all good." We experienced the Israelites' exodus from slavery out of the grasp of Pharaoh. We heard praise from the psalmist, "The Lord is my strength and my refuge. The Lord has become my Savior." And we can't forget God's guidance through the mouths of the prophets. In the New Covenant, we get a taste of the early church trying to figure out what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, what it means to live into this baptism, into his death, and into this new life with him. And then we heard the Gospel of Mark. Let me catch you up to the crescendo. God became incarnate in Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. Jesus was supposed to rule with a sword. Instead, he ruled with peace, love, and compassion. Jesus rewrote the playbook on how to be in right relationship with God. Love your neighbor, the refugee. Love your enemy. Talk to people face to face. Heal them. The more you know and love others, the more you know and love God. Jesus taught about living into God's kingdom in the here and now, as well as in the kingdom in the life to come. The Messiah was not supposed to die. He was not supposed to be crucified by the oppressive powers of both Rome and his religion, but he was. Jesus kept teaching his followers, but they could not understand what was going to happen. Group after group, they just didn't get it, even those closest to him. Now, the Gospel of Mark saved the strongest group for last. See, the women, they had supported him in his ministries in Galilee. They didn't run off from the death of the cross. They stayed and they watched with him. They followed the body to the grave. They came back to ritually prepare the body, seemingly not too worried about how they were going to get the big stone rolled away from the tomb. You see, those ladies got it. They got it. They didn't run. They wanted to stay in the pain that was being witnessed on the cross. They wanted to stay in the love that Jesus had given them. They wanted to stay in the status, relationship, actually a human being. They wanted to keep that. They understood what it meant not to be human, and now they wanted to keep it. They wanted to keep it until they didn't. The gospel says, as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Mark saved the best group for last, and they had it until they became afraid. You see, the end of tonight's reading of the Gospel of Mark, it is the original ending. It ends right there. The funny thing about an ending right there is that the early church couldn't take it because it ended in the middle of a sentence in the Greek. They couldn't do it. And so they compiled two other separate endings on there, which... go read it. It's this mishmash. Doesn't even make sense. They didn't tell anybody. Oh, but then they really did, but they did it kind of quietly. You know, I mean, they were trying to justify how Mark could end the gospel in the middle of a sentence. But you see, in the Greek, verse 8 ends with the conjunction gar, which in English, it's the word and, dot, dot, dot. Right in the middle of the sentence. The story, the crescendo's coming. Those who had it, losing it to the fear. And the page is blank. You turn, you want to know what happens next, and you keep going, and it blank page after blank page after blank page. I'm not really sure Mark saved the best for last. Certainly the best that were there at the time. There was one more group that were with him the whole time. We were. We are listening to those stories. We're privy to everything throughout that whole story, where others got bits and pieces, others got this. We got to hear what went on the whole time. The pages are blank on purpose. Paul ended in the middle of a sentence on purpose because the story's not over. It's not written yet. We've been writing it ever since. With each story in our lives, with each encounter we have with Jesus, more words go on that page. And the more that we live the gospel in our lives, we become the story that others listen to. And ... For to live into the story as a whole, since we're the listener and we have it, we have to take it in as a whole. We can't pluck scriptures here and there and try to prove a point with it. We have to let the whole story soak into our bones so that we live it every day. Our stories in Christ began at baptism. Our stories in Christ will live long beyond our death. Death into baptism, a new life. Jerry. Baptism. Tonight, we're going to turn a page that was blank, and we're going to write in it. You've been reading the story. You know the story. Something drew you to be a part of the story in a much more intimate way. And because we are a Christian community, we do baptism together. It's time to